The name of our lesson tonight is The People Business. And this is something that I have heard Joe say a number of times through the years, is that God is in the people business. And it's one of those things, you hear it and it makes sense to you and you believe it. But sometimes things like that don't really sink in real well. And then eventually one day God opens your eyes to it and helps you see it even better. Over the last few months, we've talked some about the idea of considering other people to be better than ourselves and to look out for their interest and not for our own interest. And without selfish ambition and in humility, consider others better and take care of them. And that kind of feeds into this idea of God is in the people business. And when you think about that, I also think about like what businesses he's really not in. If he's in the people business, a lot of times we get into other business, or we put that other business ahead of the people business. Church business, we can let that become the priority. We can let our business, like our work and the way that we make a living or things like that. We can let our home business, things to do around the house. We can let our personal business, things that we like doing or want to do or feel like we need to do. God's not in those kinds of business. He's not in the, even in like the singing business or the doctrine business or the theology business. God's not in any of those businesses. He's in the people business. It's all about the people. And all of those other things, whether it's the church or whether it's doctrine or whether it's Bible study, whether it's singing, whether it's our business, however we make money, whatever all those things are, those are all given to us to facilitate the one business that God is actually in, which is the people business.
Amen.
If you think about it, the only thing in this world that's going to be here for eternity is the people. Amen. Everything else is destroyed. Destroyed as in no longer exists. Everything else is. There won't be a church. We won't be married. There won't be sickness. There won't be businesses. There won't be all these things that we think are so important today that tend to take up our focus. Those things won't exist. The only thing that will exist is the people. And those people will be either in heaven or in hell. Those people will spend eternity in the presence of God, or they'll spend eternity separated from Him. The business that God is in is the people business. All the things that He does and all the things that He gives us is in order to facilitate our ministry to one another, the things that we do with people. For me, I tend to be a fairly introverted person. That thinking and ideas and that sort of thing tends to consume me, and sometimes I don't focus enough on people. Through all this, God is opening my eyes to, I made you to be a teacher and I made you to think about, ideas and things like that and express them for people. But the reason why I gave you that ability was for the people, not for the ideas and that sort of thing. Not for what's going on in my head all the time. So God has been recently working to help me focus more on people and on what their needs are and being able to see that. And I think He wants us all to be that way. He wants us all to have as our number one focus as we're living for Him is the people that He brings into our lives. No person comes into our lives without God orchestrating it to be so.
Amen.
He brings every person there. Some of those people, He has very specific things He wants us to do for them. Some of those people, He just wants us to live for Him in front of them so they can see it. But every one of those people that come into contact with us were brought there by God. There's no accidents and there's no happenstance. There's no coincidence. It's all orchestrated by God. So we need to think about, if God is in the people business, what is it that God is trying to do with people? Well, the thing that God is trying to do with people is He's trying to save people, and He's trying to, once He saves those people, to change them to be just like Jesus. That's the business that He's in. So we're going to look at a few verses that kind of highlight this for us. And we'll start with maybe the most popular verse that everybody knows, with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is a God of love. If he did not have love, if he was just a just God, he would just destroy all the people on this earth and be done with it, because that's what we deserve. But he's not. He's a loving God. And he loves us so much that not only does he desire for us to be saved from our sins, but he was willing to send his own Son to provide the way. He is so concerned about us as people that he was willing to send his Son, have our sins put on him, and then punish him for us so that then we could be people who could have a relationship with him. So that whoever of us believes in Christ should not perish but have everlasting life. Those who believe in him, as we talked about, the only thing that's going to last for eternity is people, and those people are going to be in one of two situations. They're either going to be perishing for an eternity in hell, or they're going to be living everlasting life with God in heaven. That's the only two places that people end up. God, because he loves us so much, provided a way for us to be with him for eternity. And when Jesus came for that purpose, he fulfilled that purpose on the cross. He did what needed to be done for us to have a relationship with God. And then when he was leaving, he gave us this commission. He gave us this responsibility here on earth. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." God gave, after Jesus did everything that he was supposed to do, God gave him all authority in heaven and on earth. We are his. He has all the authority, and then he has given to us a responsibility, and he works through us. And that responsibility is, as we go throughout our life and God brings people into our presence, all based on his plan, he's working it together so that we come into contact with these people, we have two responsibilities with those people. If they are not a disciple of Christ, if they do not know him, if they have not believed in the Son of God yet, then our responsibility is to help them to become a disciple, help them to know about Jesus and to believe on him. And then, once they have become a disciple, our job is to then help teach people to observe or to do all the things that Jesus commands. So the next thing that we're to do is to help people that God brings into our life to become more like Christ, to be more what he wants them to be, to understand the kinds of things that he wants them to do, and to do those things. And as we go through our lives and God brings those people to us, we have the opportunity to tell them about Jesus so they become disciples, or if they're already disciples, we have the opportunity to help them to become more like Jesus. And as we do that, we can be comforted with the fact that Jesus, who has all authority in heaven and on earth, is with us at all times, no matter where we go, all the way to the end. And the reason why he's there with us is to help us to make disciples and to help us to help people to become more like Christ, to learn the kinds of things that he has taught us, and then to observe them. So there's two parts to it, right? It's to know what God expects of us and what Jesus wants us to do, but also encouraging each other to actually observe those things, to actually do them. Now, as we go about our lives, and God is working out these situations for us to work for him, no matter what happens, he's there with us. And no matter what happens, he is causing these situations that he brings us into to produce in us Christ. Every situation that we come into is intended to produce a good result in us. And that's what we see in Romans 8, 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So for all of us who have believed in Jesus and we know God and he has called us, he has called us out, he has saved us for his purposes. And he has purposes that are designed for us as he brings us into contact with people. It says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So God's goal for people is that Jesus would be the firstborn among many brethren who are just like him. God's goal for all the people that he saves is that they become like Christ. So when he knew us ahead of time and he called us out and he predestined us to be saved and to be, not just to be saved, but to be conformed to the image of his son, that we would be changed to be like him. That is the purpose that God has for all of us. So the people business that God is in is not just helping people in general in some, you know, philanthropic way. We're going to help feed people. We're going to do things for people. We're going to give them clothes. That's all part of it. But his people business, those things are just part of the process to accomplish his real goal, which is to cause us to be like Christ, to conform us to the image of his son, to change us to be just like him. So as we go through this life, he's working on us to change us, and he's using each one of us to help work on each other to change us to the image of Christ. And then one day, when we die and go to be with him, or when he comes back and takes us to be with him, then he will complete that transformation and fully conform us to the image of Christ. Everything that he's doing here on earth is toward that purpose. That's why we know that all things work together for good, because all things work together to conform us to the image of his son. So because God loved us, he sent his son to provide us a way to have life rather than to perish in hell. After Jesus provided that way for us, he gave us the responsibility to help others understand that way and to become his disciples. And then once they believe on him, to understand him and what he wants them to do, to encourage them to do those things. We know that as we go about doing that for him, that he's always right there with us. And that no matter what circumstances come up, no matter what situations we end up in as we walk through this life, we can know that all of those things are working together for good. Both our good and the good of those that God wants us to minister to. That God wants us to help him conform to the image of his son. That good thing is that he will be changing us to be just like Christ. The thing that we're doing, the thing that gets us to this place, is that we take people who are in the world, who are sinners, who are the enemies of God, and we help them be reconciled to their God. That's what God wants to happen. He wants to take his enemies and take care of the enmity that's between him and them through Jesus and reconcile them to himself so that they can have a relationship with him and then eventually be conformed to the image of Christ so that Jesus can be glorified by being the firstborn among many brethren. And we see that idea in 2 Corinthians 5:16. It says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. As we go through our lives, we need to have a perspective. And that perspective is in this first couple of sentences here. It says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. What it's saying is that as we walk through this world, we don't evaluate people just based on who they are or what they're like from a fleshly perspective. We look at everyone from a spiritual perspective. We need to understand that what's important in God's business is eternity, not these 70 or 80 years that we live on this earth. So he says, as we go through life, we don't think about people and their needs just based on the needs of the flesh, the needs of these 70 or 80 years on earth. He says, even though, and this is Paul writing, he said, you know, he was alive at the time that Jesus was around and the time that Jesus got crucified. Paul surely knew what was going on because he was a Pharisee. He knew about all that was going on with Jesus. He knew Jesus according to the flesh, but now he says, I no longer know him according to the flesh. Now I know him according to the Spirit. In the same way that his perspective on Jesus changed from, I think he's this rebel that we need to kill, to he's the Son of God, in the same way, our perspective on the people in the world around us needs to change from just thinking of them in terms of this fleshly life for 70 or 80 years and begin to think of them in terms of eternity, in terms of the spiritual needs. That's the business that God is in. And he uses the physical things that people need as an opportunity to minister to people so that we can then deal with the eternal spiritual things. Jesus did that in his ministry. He dealt with all kinds of physical things, hunger, sickness, all kinds of problems like that. But his goal wasn't just to fix those problems. His goal was to fix their spiritual problem, the eternal one. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So for each one of us, when we become a Christian, everything becomes new. Now we're in a completely new place with a completely new opportunity. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. What God did through Jesus was to make it possible for each of us to be reconciled to God, to go from being his enemies to being his children. Jesus did all the work that was required for that, made it possible for us to be reconciled, reconciled each one of us already, and then gave us the responsibility to go out and reconcile others, make disciples, and then to teach them all the things that he has taught us and to encourage them to observe those things. He has given us this ministry of reconciliation. That's the people business that he is in, is reconciling people to himself, reconciling the enemies of this world to himself. And we are to do the same thing. When we go about our days and we're doing his business, it's a people business, and as we do that business, we are ambassadors for him. An ambassador is a representative of someone else who goes and speaks on their behalf. As we walk through this life, we are his ambassadors. And he desires for us to help him accomplish his business with the people that he brings into our lives. To help them to know that Jesus, who knew no sin, had become sin for them, in order that they might become the righteousness of God in Christ. That's the whole thing, that's the whole business that God is doing. He loved us so much that he sent his Son to become sin for us, and then he's given us the opportunity and the responsibility to help other people realize that and become reconciled to him, to become righteous in Him, to learn the things that He wants them to do, and to do them. That's the business that God is in. And all these other things that go on in the world, in some way, lead to that end. That's what he says in Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. And that good is that we be conformed to the image of Christ. Everything that's going on in this world is working towards that end. That's the end of all of God's plan. That's the end of all of his people business in this world. So as we go through our days and we interact with people, we need to learn how to not interact with them just based on the things of the flesh, not just based on the things of this 70 or 80 years that we live in. We need to have that same perspective that Jesus had and that Paul had, realizing that the important thing that we're doing is this ministry of reconciliation that God has given us, this ability to make disciples and then to teach them all the things that Jesus has taught us and then to encourage them to observe those things. That's the real business that we're in. And as we go about that business, we'll do all these other things, right? We'll go to church, we'll sing, we'll go to Bible study to learn how to do it better. We'll help people with their food needs, we'll help them with their housing needs, we'll help them with their clothing needs, with financial needs, we'll help them with emotional needs. We'll help them in all these other ways, but never lose sight of the real focus, which is the eternal one, which is reconciling the enemies of God, those of us who are sinners, to God through Jesus and what he did when he took our sins upon himself and made it possible for us to become the children of God. That is the business that God is in. And it's so easy to get caught up in all other kinds of business because so much of it seems pressing, or just because we get into the habit of doing those things. But we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to see the real needs of the people that we interact with, the eternal needs, the spiritual needs, and to deal with those as well as the fleshly things as we interact with people.